You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network from Monday, November 24th, episode 3825, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
That's right. It is Monday of Thanksgiving week. Welcome, everybody. We're glad you're here. Today, we're going to do our annual check-in with our friend Dominique. She is of Zebras R Us. We've been checking in with her for 14 years now. So she's going to come on and give us kind of an update what's happening at the farm there in Texas and what's going on with some of the conservation efforts with some of the rare zebras in the world. Also, a tribute to Jane Goodall. I want to play that for you in a minute. I don't know if you heard that yet. It's by your friend Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah, my friend.
He did. I didn't realize those two were like good friends.
He's another reason to love him. He's put a lot of money towards conservation in Africa. So,
and that's how he met her.
He's pretty much a hero.
Yeah. And he did this huge or this beautiful tribute to her at her funeral. And I want to play that for you. Also, we're going to learn about something else health-wise. What's that?
We are going to learn about ozone. Homer's been getting ozone therapy to fight his cancer. And so we're going to talk to my vet who administers the ozone. So
you sat another vet down and said you're going to do an interview whether you like it or not.
Pretty much. I'm like, hey, you mind telling me what the hell we're doing right now? Because I can't explain it. And so she's going to explain it. But I did have a lot of people come back and ask me what it was. And I was like, I'll just ask her because she knows. She says, do it. I say, okay.
Are you on a blacklist of all vets in Oklahoma by now?
I'm getting there real quick.
And then in our Auditor Post show, I asked the auditors a question. If you could have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be? And we're going to discuss some of those answers, which truly surprised me, actually, what the answers were. So as we talked about, you mentioned a little while ago how you met Leonardo and how how that wasn't your best moment.
It wasn't my best moment.
But
when you're standing face to face with Leonardo DiCaprio and you're trying to think of something to say and nothing comes out and just spit on his shoulder, it was a whole thing. It's terrible. I don't want to revisit it right now, but I can't even hardly watch his movies anymore because they so affect me. No celebrity has ever done that to me ever in all my years of like stuff. So I just, it's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. I don't wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning revisiting that whole event ever. Okay.
So in the post show, when we talk about who you would invite to dinner, it's not Leonardo, I assume.
I would vomit on him probably. I don't know. It could get ugly.
Can I say something about him? This was a video I'm going to play the audio of, and he was speaking at Jane Goodall's funeral. And he is one of, there are so many of the celebrities of his age that have gotten older and just look gruff. I mean, they look like they've been through it. He has improved with age. He looks really good.
Monumentally attractive, Glenn. There's a reason he's a movie star.
I know, but some of these younger attractive guys don't look so good anymore, right? And he does. It's like, and that's coming from a guy. So let's hear what he had to say. This is profound, and actually, there's a message in here I think we can all take away from it.
Most people knew her as Jane Goodall, the icon, the legend, but the Jane I was fortunate enough to get to know was gentle, curious, funny, witty, and absolutely unstoppable. Everywhere she went, she carried one simple, powerful message that there is still hope and that each one of us can make a difference. One of my favorite memories is from the first time I took a photo with Jane. I looked straight into the camera. When I looked to my left, Jane was looking directly at me instead. She told me that that's the way she preferred to take her photos. Because for her, it was never about the image itself. It was about that shared connection. And that small moment said everything to me about who she was, an enlightened Homo sapien. May we all honor her by carrying forward that same fierce belief that we can do better, that we must do better, and that we have a responsibility to protect this beautiful natural world we all share. Jane often said, every day that we live, we can make an impact on the planet. May ours be an impact of hope for her, for all living things, and for the generations to come. Thank you, Jane, for being everything you said you would be and for spending your lifetime proving it to all of us.
Should have I done a tissue alert?
No, but because she was just one of my favorite people ever. He's beautiful. She's beautiful. Everything's beautiful. It's all good. Okay. Everything's great. I'm fine.
And the message there about we all can still make a difference. You know, one person can make a difference. She proved that, right? So
that resonated with me years and years ago. She started saying that. And it's like that difference in when you walk in from the grocery store, from the parking lot to go to the store, and you look down, there's trash on the ground. That to me is like the Jane. I'm like, Jane would tell me to pick it up because we're making a difference in the world every single day. Every little thing we do, you can either help the planet or hurt the planet. And she chose help. So I don't know if it always kind of resonated with me as to like, what can I do in this exact moment? I'll see something that I could do and I could be lazy or I could be proactive. And so I think at that statement all the time. So I love that he touched on that because that was one thing that hit me like a ton of bricks 20 years ago.
To be honest, though, if I picked up all the trash on the way into the Walmart, I'd be there all afternoon. So.
You never get in the Walmart. I mean, sometimes you got to let employees handle some business, all right? They get paid for something.
I would need a 55-gallon drum. So there's that. We have a bunch of auditor birthdays in the next couple of days. Lucy Butler, Janine Ward, Katie Lebetz, and Kelly Harmon. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific day.
My heart is actually racing telling you this because this is something that was really, really tough for me. So on Friday's show, I told some personal stories and you know, made some people laugh or whatever. And then I got to the barn and Duke had quit eating. He's 33, almost 34 years old is our best guess. And he's a draft cross. So the fact that he, you know, lived as long as he did, he was just an amazing horse, but he had quit eating and it'd been a couple of days. And I made every kind of food in the world and he just was done. And it was a beautiful day. I kind of thought about it on Thursday, but when I went out there Friday, I was like, okay, like it's cool. It's cool, buddy. We'll let you go.
We always say they tell us, right? We've said that.
And Andy, he told me on just the most beautiful day. The sun was shining. It was 72 degrees. It was so peaceful. And so on that day, you know, you have to make all the necessary terrible phone calls and arrangements. But after all that was done, Lucas and Chad and Ginger and I, we just sat in the pasture with him and I loaded him up on Banamine and just fed the bejesus out of him tight. I shaved carrots and I was giving him shaved carrots. And like, I called Betty Faye, his former owner, who's a listener of ours, who I got him from, you know, 14 years ago. So I called her and we talked about it and she said some really sweet things. And so we laid Duke to rest in the field. And he's buried in the pasture and he's buried next to Chili and next to Demure, who was my other lifetime kind of horse. So as tremendously difficult as that was, I just was like, you know what? I'm just tired I'm tired of having stories to tell, you know, like on Monday, like, what'd you do? I've got a story to tell. I always have stories to tell. And I'm like, I'm so tired of having stories to tell. But then on Saturday, I got a package in the mail and I'm going to read to you excerpts of the letter that I got from Kelly.
One of our listeners?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know anything about this one. By the way, I'm very sorry to hear about Duke. I really am. I think we knew it was coming, but it doesn't help. You know, it doesn't make it any better.
Doesn't make it any easier because I fed him like 5 times a day. And how many times I've had to stop myself from going down to the bar. And I'm like, and anyway, I just was like, I'm so tired of having stories to tell. And I got really, really down kind of about this gig and this job and how much I share. And just like, I just, you know, I feel a responsibility to share, but then like, I don't know. But anyway, so I was kind of like, really struggling. And then I got this package in the mail and I opened it up and there's a letter in it. And I'm just going to read you excerpts of it, but it says something about how special you are to the horse world and beyond. You are so brave in being willing to share your life lessons and be your authentic self. I don't have a lot of horse friends, but I've declared you one of mine. And I'm so excited to be able to hang out with you at least 3 times a week, even if it's one-sided. I'm not a great gift giver, but I wanted to send a couple of things your way. And I opened the package and there's a American Pharoah Briar horse. The little Briar, she said, I found months ago at a thrift store and remembered when you go thrifting and you find a lonely horsey, you like to bring them home. I found this one very fitting since it had the American Pharoah blanket on him and looks like him. I knew he needed a home with you. Then I open the package and there's a picture, a framed photo of Zenyatta. She went on to say the picture is of Zenyatta when she was at Santa Anita and in the saddling paddock before one of the qualifying races for the Breeders' Cup. I groomed at the track when I was 14 and 15 and went to the races at Bay Meadows for many years before it was shut down. Racing has a special place in my heart as I was able to watch Zenyatta race live. And knowing this, the photographer gifted this to me many years ago. And I felt it time to pass along to you since I know you appreciate her as well. Keep up the wonderful work with your advocacy, open heart teaching, and sharing. And thank you so much for everything, Kelly. Kelly, well, I opened your package and just sobbed. I mean, because you didn't know what was going on in my life. And sometimes, you know, when you reach out to somebody like that, it just meant so, so much. And I just wanted to thank you. And just, I mean, I couldn't have planned the timing for that any better, because what you did was let me know that what I do matters. And that's, I think, all we want to do is know that we matter sometimes, you know, and your next door neighbor, you want to let them know they matter. And Kelly, you let me know that I matter at the exact point I needed to know that I matter. So thank you very much. Wow. Move on.
I'm not crying. You're crying. All right, let's, you're making it tough to do a transition here.
Well, let's talk about Kelly. Worm flooring. How about that?
Thank you, Kelly. Wormflooring.com now does your trailer roof. Leaky roofs are a very common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start, and second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and buckets and invest in a long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish and is only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and people.
I must tell you, Glenn, because I have worm flooring in my barn. My barn aisle is worm, and I was blowing it out yesterday, and Chad came in, and he's walking around, and he's like, you know what? This is really good you did this. He was like, sometimes you buy stuff and you don't use it all that much. He was like, this is part of your everyday life. I'm like, yeah, I'm on this thing all day. Like, why not stand on something? You're marching towards death, Chad. Why haven't you figured that out? Yes, I've got something really nice. And he's like, but this is like part of the fabric of your day. It's so important that it's here. Like, you use it all the time. I was like, yes, I use it all the time. Thank you.
We're in flooring, WERMflooring.com to find a dealer near you.
Sometimes it just takes them a while to get it, people.
I saw you. You actually got him to ride yesterday. What's he feeling guilty about?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, really.
I was joking, but I don't know anything. I was just joking.
So I've been going on trail rides, and yes, I'm just like really sad. Like, it's just tough. So I've been going on trail rides by myself because Farm Boy left, and not having Farm Boy here, it's like I lost my best friend, you know,
your barn friend.
Yeah. I mean, but I saw him more than anybody. You know, I mean, I spent more time with him in the barn and on horses, and we rode together all the time. And it's like having a mini, you know, it's like it's a working student, basically. But that becomes part of the fabric of your life. And it's like a chapter in my life that ended. And I didn't want it to end, you know, because it was like perfect. So I've been riding by myself all the time. And I was like, hey, you want to go on a trail ride today? And he's like, what? And I'm like, you can ride Carl. You haven't ridden Carl yet. And he's like, I think he could just see in my face that he better say yes, like, because mama needs it. And he actually said yes. And so Carl it was. And he was like, I like this horse. He's pretty good.
He looks good, like, on a horse, too. He looks like he has a pretty natural seat, actually.
Well, I'm like, what did you think? I bought a piece of garbage as you're standing in the field.
It is Craigslist, Carl. Good. I mean, let's be honest.
I was like, but I know what I'm buying when I'm shopping on Craigslist. He was like, I can steer him. Like, he's really good. He's like, the only problem he doesn't like is that Duke was bigger than any horse I rode. So he liked being taller than me. And I'm like, suck it. I'm on a 16.3 and third bed. You're on a 14.2 acorn horse.
Duke was pretty big.
Yeah, he was huge. So this is his first ride, not on Duke. And he said it went pretty good.
He looks pretty good on a horse. Jennifer always complains when I ride, too, because I apparently have a natural seat. I have no idea. But she says, oh, I hate that.
All right. So, can I just tell you my favorite thing? This is going to be a really random, obscure thing. But years and years ago, and I don't want to go into it this time. Maybe we'll talk about it later. But I worked for a guy who trained horses for Shania Twain. Okay. And long story short, I'm in the Adirondack Mountains and I'm with Shania and I'm riding through her trails in the Adirondacks. And she had her trainer, his name was Roy, and he was from Tennessee. And she is test riding this Andalusian. It's a whole thing. I'm not going to get into it right now, but I'm on this.
I ever heard this story.
It's a whole, no, we'll go for it later. But I'm on this horse and I turn around and she's test riding this gray Andalusian. And I think I was on a Frisian at the time, whatever. So I turned around and I was like, oh my gosh, Eileen, because you don't call her Shania, her name is Eileen. I'm like, Eileen, you look amazing on that horse. And her trainer turned to me and goes, honey, she looked good on a fence post. And so I'm thinking that all the time when you're like, somebody looks like Chad looks good on a horse, honey, he'd look good on a fence post. I had to give you backstory. We'll go into that later.
Hey, our annual holiday design drawn by Jessica Troop, one of our amazing listeners, is almost ready. This year, you'll be able to do a digital download of the holiday design. And this year, who's on it, Jamie?
Oh, it's Butters.
Butters.
And this year, it included Homer.
That's right. We got Scooter, Butters, and Homer all on the holiday design. They're all playing reindeer this year, so it's very cute. We're going to have it available by Wednesday. We always had merch in the past, but the problem was the company we used wasn't all that great, to be honest.
Kind of sucked.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. So this year, what we're going to do is we're just going to have a flat rate. You can download the digital download. And then, like, I use Vistaprint to get cards and mugs made, and they're really good, and they're really, you know, affordable and actually better quality than what we're using. So you'll be able to do that, get whatever made you want to, is basically what it comes down to. It's cheaper than the other options we've had in the past, and I'll have the details for that on Wednesday, and we'll also show it to everybody. She's making a minor tweak right now to Homer, because Homer's mom was not happy about one little thing. So.
Well, I mean, he's a lemon basset, not brown.
I know. I was like, Is he really that? I couldn't remember how light he was. He was really kind of light.
You mean Jessica doesn't have memorized what my dog
apparently
looks
not.
Like? Weird.
What's cool about Jessica, though, is she'll make that change in about 2 seconds. You know,
it's, yeah.
You and I would take a month, but she'll
Diva
make it
Diva over
months.
Here, like, yeah. I'm a third, yeah. I don't like the look of my
she
dog.
She said, oh, no problem. I'll get it done right away. It's like, yeah okay. And everyone can now register to win the prizes for next week's Holiday Week episodes. I didn't realize. I really didn't try all that hard this year to get prizes. And it turned out we have 8 a day. Over $800 in prizes will be given away each day of all three wow. days next week. So I'll put a link in the show notes where you can go register for the prizes. It's a Google form. You'll see that in the show notes. I also put it on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You can go there and find it. I know hundreds of you already signed up, so get on over
registering
there.
Registering now.
Up. Yes, register okay. now. You have until Sunday to get your registrations in. Do you think we can win now? Because, you know, we're not, I don't own the company anymore.
I mean, seriously, huh? Like, sign up. Let's see if we draw our own name. Just kidding.
Also, I last day, as per usual, I got 7 terrific songs, and Butters may be in one of them. They're really good. So we'll have a lot of songs. We have about as many poems. So I'm putting together the songs and poems for next week's episodes. We have a bunch of great guests that are all confirmed. So we're going to have fun next week. And so please do join us on next week's shows. And now we're going to get to our guest. Well, it's time for our annual check-in with one of our favorite people. We met her 14 years ago when we visited Norco, California. She has now moved to Texas. We want to welcome Dominique of Zebras R Us. Hey, Dominique.
Hi, guys.
Do you remember when we met you 14 years ago, what you were doing that day when we came out to your farm?
I think it was a number of things, but there was a film crew out there, and that was the start of the craziness.
That's correct. There was a film crew out there with the zebras. They were filming a commercial, weren't they, Jamie? That's what I kind of...
I feel like it was like a photo shoot because we were watching your people try to filter galloping zebras in front of like the light and the backdrop and all the things. And the zebras were like, yeah, no.
Right. Yeah, make sure they canter on the left lead, you know, when they go around that corner. I'm like, okay, let's try for that.
Yeah, they listen to me so well on cantering on the left lead.
It seems to me like that's kind of a Hollywood thing, is like they tell you to do it and you just go, oh, and did no idea whether it's going to happen or not. But you get the gig and here it is.
Oh, yeah. My favorite's been like when I snap my fingers and they put their ears up and they're like, wow, how did you get them to do that? I'm like, you know, just years of training. This is what you guys pay me for.
Do you still do TV work and stuff?
It's slowed down quite a bit. I'm more focused on, I've become like the empty nest settler with my babies, and I just love to stay at home and care for the animals. So we're not on the road too much. We're kind of at home and building the property here and, you know, spending time with the babies, I guess. It's like an older chapter for me.
Well, you know, probably a safer chapter. When we met you that day and you came in to do the show with us the next morning, you were completely black and blue, pretty much from head to toe from getting kicked. So I hope it's a little safer than it was.
I believe we weren't supposed to talk about that, Glenn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, listen, we have evolved. And I am so happy looking back. Like we said, it's been 14 years. And we all evolve and we learn and we grow. And I have to tell you, that story has stayed with me and I don't hide it. I want people to know. I've really become an advocate for like safe handling. The more education we have behind these zebras and wild animals that we're trying to domesticate and we're trying to work with, you know, the more education and the truthful talks we have, it helps the animals long term. You know, if people know what they're getting into, it's a safer environment for the zebra. It's a safer environment for the people. So I love it. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and make sure all these animals get in the correct situations, you know, because they are hard. They're difficult. I think that's why I get along with them so good.
We have a thing about badass horsewomen here on the show, and I think you were one of the first we ever met because she pretty much came from the hospital to the recording. I'm just like,
it was 90 degrees, and I'm wearing a sweater.
Yes,
a scarf?
We're glad we met you, and we're glad to be friends all these years later. So, kind of describe Zebras R Us and what you have, what work you do at the farm.
Zebras R Us started a long time ago. decades, as we can say now. And it was a dream. It was fun. I was a young horse kid into 3-day eventing and, you know, the dressage world. And I was the weirdo that wanted a zebra and I had no education behind it. So that's kind of how it started. And like I said, it evolved from this fun little dream to, wow, we can do this. We can make better animals. We can do amazing things with zebras. And it just become a passion that has spread worldwide. We're the largest exporter, you know, of zebras and different hoof stock in the United States. And it's just, it's really evolved and it's so neat. I have grand baby zebras now.
Well, you're very conscious. You work with a lot of zoos. You're certified and you're very conscious of who gets your zebras, right? I know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I actually had an email last week, an inquiry. We make everybody fill out an adoption application. And this individual said they filled out everything. Their wife is a vet and they actually wouldn't send me pictures of their facility. And you know, that's part of the thing is I got to see where they're going to live, what their companions look like. And he wouldn't send me back pictures. And he said, oh, well, we're very private. And I mean, that's a, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 loss on our side. But just that simple thing is so important to us. Like we chose not to sell him a zebra because if we can't see into their life and where they're going to go, we don't do it. So it's really important to me to make sure they get in the right home. So things like that happen to me don't happen to other people.
You know,
now,
yeah, go ahead.
Jeff. I want to say real quick, because one of the things that I've admired you so much for is your conservation of the Grevy zebra. Tell everybody about that.
Oh, my Grevys are amazing. There are actually different types of subspecies of zebras. And the Grevys are actually the largest. They can actually be 15 hands to 15. Wow. One. They're huge. They're giant zebras. They're very calm. They're docile. And there's actually only 2,000 to maybe 3,000 in the world. And zebras are us. We have 11 of them. So we're pretty wow. proud of them. They're incredible animals. We also have mountain zebras, the Grant zebras, which are more common. But zebras are us. We have every species of zebra here.
And why that's amazing, Glenn, is like they're the numbers for Grevys. I mean, even 10 years ago after, because I don't think you had Grevys initially, the numbers were so low. It was like borderline catastrophic.
500, 600.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the number, and they're just amazing animals. And they have, so the difference in the Grevys, if you were to look at them, what I've noticed is they have kind of bigger rounded ears, almost like. Like half donkey ears, but like big and
Mickey
round.
Mouse.
Mickey Mouse ears. Yeah, they're and I think when I read this article, I was like, a Grevy zebra was born in Texas, and I was like, what? And then I'm like, oh my god, it's Dominique.
We actually, you know, it's kind of like my little thing. I enjoy them. I have a, you know, I'm knocking on wood, y'all. My stallion I purchased as a baby long time ago. He's 7 years old now. He has 100% success rate for females. So we've actually, like, he's been incredible. He's had us some female babies, and now I'm actually, the offspring that I've produced, I need to put different bloodlines on. So I'm getting another stallion in that pasture. So we're going to have two separate bloodlines, and, you know, we're just trying to gain wow. in volume. My goal. If we could send two back to their homeland, that would be, you know, incredible to have our bloodlines outside in a different country. And we've actually got some really, really, really cool stuff going on next year. If anybody could guess, in about 180 days, we'll have a really cool thing going on. So next year, look at our Facebook. Undisclosed. I can't talk about it.
Finally, get. Come on, get my giraffe. I really need a giraffe. We've talked about this.
Oh my gosh, we've had giraffes. I've actually been known to raise baby giraffes. So we've had giraffes here and it's pretty awesome. They're pretty cute. They're one of my favorites.
So what other critters do you have on the farm?
We have kangaroos and wallabies. We have some lemurs, different species of those. Deer, camels, you know, just the norm. Go to your zoo and just You know, I would actually like to be a zoo because they don't have as many things as we do here.
So
I'm like, oh, you have two zebras? That must be nice.
What, and have you gotten all of these through rescues or the other animals other than zebras, or, you know, just because you wanted one?
No, I actually found a hole. I found a need for quality over quantity, and that has really been important to me. I found a lot of people have unhealthy animals, and they visually can't see it. You know, it's like a horse. You look at their top line, you look at their chest bone, color, hair coat, all these horse things we know. I just wanted to apply to exotics, and it became one of those things where it was like, I love it. It's a passion. It's mine. And it looks really good. Why don't others look this good? So then it was like, okay, well, I can produce this and they're healthy. They're great. They can go on to cool people, good homes. And people were getting really poor experiences with other, you know, facilities or people that breed. And I just saw that need for health and animal husbandry. And that's been really, really important to me, is just the healthiest, best animals. I bought some kangaroos, and you know, this is Texas. You can buy them on any street corner. So we actually traveled across the country for the best colors, the best temperament, you know, and just tons of attributes. It was kind of like a horse breeding outlook. We wanted the best temperaments, the best colors. And that's how I chose what I wanted to do.
What do people do with zebras and kangaroos?
Same thing they do with miniature donkeys. Jamie, look, they just them. Love them and look at them and feed them and scratch their head and wonder what they did last year and why there's an animal in their backyard.
What surprised
alternative you? Livestock.
What surprised you about the kangaroos?
Their little arms, they can't hold anything. Like, imagine having toothpicks for arms and trying to grab something. Like, their little fingers don't work, their little arm, they just, what was God thinking? And a pouch. Who wants pockets and you can't reach your pockets? Like, what kind of horrible thing is that?
That's true. They only end with pockets and they can't reach them. So what was your cutest baby you had this year? Of all the babies you've had, all the different species, what was the cutest? Which one did you, and you know you have one. Don't give me any crap you don't.
Oh my goodness.
You're going to say, oh, they're all cute. Blah, blah, blah. They're all my babies.
I know. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, y'all are going to see me on the news for animal hoarders. I have fallen in love with all these things. It's like you're prying them out of my hands. Cute. I don't even know what year it is, you guys. Just keep going. These little Zedonks I've had, the last two, have been exceptionally cute.
I knew you were going to say that because I adamantly follow you on Facebook, and you have written about the Zedonks probably more than most critters. And I knew that was going to be your answer.
They're fun. They're cute. They're so silly. They're always up to something. They're like little class clowns. And you know, the problem, and y'all, I might be trying to do some convincing to my partner here that, you know, maybe, you know, we don't have an example of a really nice adult Zedonk. And what, if you come here, you have to see a Zedonk. So I think that I should keep one. I think that I should keep this gotcha. Most recent
you
one
Jamie
that was born.
You are so much alike.
I mean, you know, pictures only do so much. When you can touch that cute, beautiful nose, that's what's going to help me long term. So I think I should keep it.
And Dominique, you already have it, so it's free, okay?
Exactly.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, they're all free, Jamie.
You two are
it's
so
like
much
a blessing blessing box every day. I'm like, oh my god, that one's cute, that one's red, this one's brown, and you know, I want to show everybody both colors.
Well,
yeah,
the next
it's like
time
that
we're in Texas, we have to get out to visit you. We really do, because
oh, you have to.
We're overdue. 14 years is too long. We have to come
where
out
in
and visit.
Texas are you?
We are in Quitman, Texas, which is 2 hours east of Dallas and about an hour and a half west of Shreveport off 30.
Okay.
Kind of northeast-ish.
Well, and I know this year you have some cool merch out that people can help support your cause for helping, you know, bring quality back to these animals and these breeds. Tell us about that.
I love it. I'm so excited. This is you know, it's been fun for us. We have some sweatshirts, shirts, tumblers, and whenever somebody purchases, we actually donate back to a company called the Grevy Trust. And it's a great, you know, facility. They're in Africa. They're trying to reboot numbers and they really protect the Grevys. And so we actually donate back for whenever you guys purchase something, we give back and try to help as much as we can. We love our sweatshirts. They're so comfy. If you guys want one, I should send you all a merch patch.
I'd love that. And is it, yeah. How do people buy it?
It's called owlcatclothing.com. And we have a Zebras R Us section. It's a really amazing company. It's Andrew's brother, and he's amazing. He does packs. You get free bracelets, keychains, stickers, like the whole works. He does everything. He's amazing. Super cool shout out to Owlcat Clothing.
Owlcat Clothing. We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well if somebody wants one of this cool merchandise that you put together. Thank you so much for joining us again, and congratulations on all your success and the work you do. We really appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, guys. It's been awesome. So many years. I wish we could. We need a group hug and a group photo.
Definitely. Thanks,
I love
Dominique.
My Facebook memory when it comes up and it's me at your house holding a baby zebra. And I'm just like snuggling.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
And I look at those pictures. I'm like, gosh, we've grown. Like, that was so bad.
We were so pretty back then. Oh, yeah. My God.
I wasn't as bright back then.
Thanks. Y'all got to come out. We need to redo this.
Yeah, we do. We need another group shot. Thanks, Dominique.
Cool. Thank you, guys. Merry Christmas and Happy Thanksgiving.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
So, yeah, we were talking couple weeks ago about Homer getting the ozone, and I had no idea how to explain to you what that was.
I had no idea what it was. So, yes.
So, Dr. Rasmussen is originally from Iowa. She went to Iowa State, got her doctorate of veterinary medicine in 2004, and then she went to attend the Vlugin Institute for Equine Osteopathy and Education and got her certification for equine osteopathy. So let's hear what she has to say.
Thank you for agreeing to do this. I know you're about to run out the door, but I guess, you know, kind of tell everybody what is ozone. And as Glenn said at one point, it's not FDA approved. So explain maybe why that is.
Okay, so ozone, everyone wants to talk about, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, we worried about the hole in the ozone layer and that, you know, we would be so damaged if we lost that. So the ozone actually protects us. The problem we have with ozone here is you don't want to inhale ozone because it's going to be really irritating and drying to the lungs. So people have done that. The reason we can do that is you nebulize the ozone into an oil, then you can nebulize it and use it for the lungs. I don't use it frequently that way. The main way I've been using it is injectable or by rectal insufflation. So what ozone is, I have a medical oxygen tank and I have an ozone generator. So you connect the oxygen tank to the generator and you could set it, you know, the oxygen flow to whatever you want and the ozone generator to a different concentration so that you will get the strength of ozone that you want. So what happens is you take your O2 from the oxygen tank into the generator and the generator splits the O2 molecules into single molecules. And those molecules will come back together as 3, which is O3, which is what we call ozone. It will be stable for about 45 minutes to an hour. So you can inject it like into acupuncture points or rectally, or you can put it through saline and inject the saline. You could pull blood, ozonate the blood, give the blood back. So there's several ways to administer the ozone. But what happens is that third oxygen molecule is unstable. So it wants to jump off. And when it jumps off, it actually oxidizes cancer cells and bacteria. So that third oxygen molecule is not antioxidant, it's oxidizing. The rest of the oxygen that's left is O2, which we need O2 in our bodies to live. Like, that's why we have heart and lungs, and that's why we breathe, and the oxygen is in our blood. So literally, like, blood is life, and it's circulating oxygen to the body. So then you're just not hyperoxygenating, but you're just oxygenating the body with the rest of that. So ozone has been found to be very anti-inflammatory. It stimulates the body's endogenous, so inside the body, like, its own anti-inflammatory mechanisms. It's going to improve microcirculation. So like old chronic injuries that haven't been healing, you'll get those small little pieces of capillaries and little circulation to get going. Very anti-inflammatory. A lot of the feedback I'm getting is, well, one, we're improving soundness and we're getting a lot more energy. I've gotten rid of some very bad infections, like on animals that, like one horse in particular, a joint that was about to be euthanized, and in 12 hours, like, she was trying to jump out of the round pen.
What was going on with that joint?
She was a mare that was pasture bred, and the stallion, I guess, ran her into something that cut her leg deep, and so she had an infection in the joint. She was at a surgery facility and had surgery, and the joint was lavaged and flushed multiple times, and the surgeon couldn't get rid of the infection. So her friend was with her and said to, you know, bring it to me, and I know that surgeon, he said, yeah, give it a try. And she called me and said, oh, I think I'm just going to put her down. I said, give me 3 days. And she's back to riding that mare now. So, and the surgeon did everything right to get rid of the infection. So, but getting that ozone in there just oxidized the bacteria. And gotcha. She was like almost immediately, I mean, 12 hours.
So what type of animals and or humans would you use ozone on?
Well, I can't treat humans. People can treat themselves. So interestingly enough, there are people that will get their own ozone machine, you know, under the guidance of, you know, their doctor, and can do rectal insufflation on themselves daily. And that would be what would be used, you know, on someone that has cancer. I've used it on dogs with cancer, dogs with bone infection, dogs with arthritis, horses, like poor performance, sore in a joint that didn't have any pathology, and 3 treatments going again. One with navicular, like bone pain, had all the corrective shoeing, had the joint injections, and just would be kind of like stiff starting out, and serviceable, like still a rideable horse, but not himself. And after the first treatment, the owner's response to me was, she's long trotting him down the road, and usually he's just kind of goofy looking around, like looking for something else to do. And the day after he got ozone, he just looked straight down the road and powered off. So he had a lot more, he was interested in his work.
Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to avoid it. Gotcha. Well, I mean, one of the things that we have done with Homer, and you let me know, is it actually helps the chemo get through the body.
Yes, good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Jamie. So actually, Dr. Schallenberger is a doctor you can look up. He's a medical doctor, and he is the doctor who brought ozone back to the U.S. We used it 150 years ago when we didn't have, you know, all the meds and drugs that we have now for an infection, for cancer. And Dr. Schallenberger's opinion is almost any doctor that's using a medication, not using ozone with it, that knows about it, it's practically malpractice, because it is going to help the drugs work better. So like we did on your dog, you know, Homer, before chemo, one, it reduced his side effects, and then two, it enhanced the effect of the drug because we increased circulation and allowed it to get places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what we're doing now is just a maintenance of once a month, I believe.
Yep. Once a month. So, you know, weekly as treatment. There are certain times that, you know, we would do daily, but I would say just like a blanket that you could, you know, tweak would be, you know, weekly during treatment. And then once you have the clinical signs resolved, the disease or whatever gone, you know, monthly for health.
Yeah. So what I was doing was bringing him to Dr. Kim here, and then the next day he would go to the chemo treatment. So, I mean, he's still here. So I'm happy that we have all of it. Now, we mentioned earlier about when we were talking, not on the recording, about the FDA and drugs and medications. Can you kind of cover that again?
Yeah, I don't know if I have like a real specific answer for you that other than, you know, the FDA is a drug company, like association. So oxygen's not really a drug. So there's not like any company that's going to do the research. Gotcha. It's not like a product that they can package and sell.
Gotcha. So it's not going to get FDA approval because there's nobody to pay for the test studies to get it approved because it's air.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Exactly. Awesome. Well, if somebody was interested in learning more about it or finding a practitioner near them, is that something that you somewhere you could recommend they go?
Locally?
I mean, no, this general, is like a globally kind of thing. Is there like a ozone practitioner's website? Because Dr. Kim's also a Pulse PEMF certified practitioner like me. That's the, about where our similarity ends. She's tinier and cuter and prettier than me. So, but we both do that. And there's a website for that to direct people to finding practitioners. Is there any ozone people or is it just kind of like call around and see what you can come up with?
Yeah, I would probably start looking around. There's a couple groups I'm on, like the company where I got, you know, my machine from. It's not necessarily like a human place. But I know there's, you know, Facebook groups and companies that sell the generators. I would just make sure, you know, you do some research and know what you're doing and get a reputable machine and work with a good company that's going to kind of set you on the right path.
And a good person to, like, you constantly are reading new studies to me. And so you're learning and continuing education on all of it is admirable. And yeah, really, I'm so happy that we have this and we have Homer and Homer's here. Thanks to you. And thanks for taking care of all the ponies as well.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks, Jamie. It's a joy. And I just didn't want to make anyone misunderstand. There are human doctors that do this. So if, you know, someone's looking, they could find it. But yeah, it's always a joy, Jamie. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing that, Jamie. Obviously, we don't recommend treatments. We just tell you what they are and you decide whether you want to go out and get whatever treatment we talk about or not. That's completely up to you.
Talk to your veterinarian.
Yes, talk to your veterinarian. So now, speaking of treatments, the EHV1 thing, it looks like there's 27 cases now, according to that official chart, and in 7 different states. So it has gone up a bit. I was wondering about the NFR because that's coming up, you know, in a couple of weeks. So they have put out an official statement, and this is what they're saying. They're Nevada has put out some requirements as far as getting into the state, too. You have to have a 7-day certificate of veterinary inspection, a CVI. It used to be you had a 6-month one and you were good, but some of the state, a lot of states have now gone to 7 days because of this. So what the PRCA announced and the NFR announced was all horses must have that 7-day certificate. Well, they needed to get into the state anyway. All participants and competitors are responsible for daily temperature monitoring for their horses, and they have to have a log of it from the 20th. So, in other words, you should have started it already if you're planning on competing there. They want to see those logs from November 20th on. There is a no-travel advisory for horses participating and competing at the NFR. In other words, from a couple days ago on, you're not even supposed to bring your horses off the farm. So you can't do practice runs or any of that stuff. Enhanced verification and check-in procedures will be in place. Biosecurity measures will be maintained. And they're doing the same thing for the Junior National Finals Rodeo. So, and of course, that's pending change. There's a woman on Facebook that actually posts the daily updates of all of these things. She is a tie-in to that world. And she's been posting these daily. And it's changed almost every day. So there'll probably be more changes as that goes on. I see a lot of people taking it seriously, though, and then you have those that are saying it's all a crock. So it's usual.
It's it's crazy. It's like COVID, where there's like deniers and then people that are going crazy about it. So, I mean, to me, like, you know, I'll take chances with my health, but I'm not going to take chances with my horse's health.
That's true of most horse people, isn't it?
Isn't that true?
Is it Evangeline Downs, the one that's down there in Louisiana? Did you see what happened at a race yesterday?
What?
Oh my God. So they were taken off. And I would play the audio for you, except when this happens, he stops talking. So there was nothing there. It was just blank. So this race takes off, and I think there were 8 runners in this race, and they are going around the track. And then all of a sudden, the ambulance comes driving down the track right along the rail. The horses had
to. Like the inside rail?
Yes. The horses had to jump out of the way to to miss the ambulance as they're in the middle of a race. It just started around the first turn. So they're going full speed, and the ambulance is coming down the rail. They all got out of the way, and nobody was hurt. Now, they ended up stopping the race and calling the race void because the ambulance was on the wrong position on the track. Yeah, no kidding.
So ambulances always follow the race, but they're on the outside rail. Yeah, and they
going the same direction. This was going the opposite direction toward the horses.
How did that happen? Did somebody have a stroke?
I don't know. That, you know, I looked all over for a reason why this happened, and all I could find was it's under investigation. Yeah, I bet it is. I bet just some ambulance driver got fired.
Oh my God, how scary it was to head. I thought it was behind him or cut across when you posted that. No. It's like
you can find the video. I play it for you, but the announcer stopped talking. I think he was going, what the hell? He was in disbelief, too. It was bizarre. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. Fortunately, everybody's okay, but those that ran in the race, it didn't count. They had to stop.
Let's ask AI. Maybe they know.
No, I asked. I already asked.
Did you?
Yes. And AI came back and said, oh, we can't find anything other than it's under investigation. Yeah, I don't know.
That's crazy.
I know. There's my crazy story of the day. There's some weird news for you right there.
That's terrifying.
Now, Jamie, you're going to be off the rest of the week. I have Lisa filling in on Friday, and we have Solange here tomorrow with one of her riding episodes. I think you guys will all enjoy that. And then on Thursday, the travel episodes are back. She's done traveling, so now she's doing some more shows. So
isn't that Thanksgiving?
Yes. So she'll be back on well, they can listen to it anytime. And then we're dark on Friday, and then Monday we'll start holiday week. But Jamie's leaving. You're gone for Thanksgiving. So
yeah, nip that word vacation in the bud right there.
I thought about saying it, and then I thought where you were going, and I did nip it.
I caught myself. The quality time with my father, two brothers, and my father's wife in Madison, Georgia. If anybody lives around Madison and wants to hang out, message me. Oh, I'm happy to go.
There's got to be some accents in that group. Oh,
oh dear God. Oh, my God.
There has to be some serious. I mean, I would understand nothing of what they were talking about.
No, like, I mean, you've heard my dad.
Yes.
His wife is.
Your dad has one of the thickest Southern accents I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And then his wife is equally thick with a completely different style of Southern.
Is she Alabama or one of those?
I think she, when they met, she lived in Rome, Georgia.
And so there are different accents even in Georgia?
Yeah. It's a whole, yeah, everywhere.
Who knew?
I mean, somebody like me, I'm trained to pick up on the dialects of different Southerners.
Like Alabama is completely different altogether.
Oh, I told you I was in Arkansas last week. Y'all, that's a whole, like, I don't even understand what they say in Arkansas. Good Lord.
It is different in Arkansas. It really is. All right, auditors, hang on. We're going to talk a little bit about your surprising answers in a good way for who you would choose to have dinner with, dead or alive. And maybe it'll make you appreciate Thanksgiving dinner all that much more. We'll find
out. That's true. Good point.
All right. See you, everybody. Have a terrific holiday week. Lisa and I will be back with you on Wednesday.
Spay, neuter, geld.